Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
This word is for you as we contextualize Deuteronomy 30. Not everything is 100% applicable, meaning that the narrative doesn't overlay to your life in some exact form, but it does give us a ability to contextualize what God is specifically doing for us as a church. And let's start in the 15th verse. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. That God himself is the one who is setting before you either life or death. That each human being is given a choice of which way you can swing, to the evil or the good. If you obey the command of the Lord your God that I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering in to take possession of it. God told me that what he is trying to do in our church is to absolutely bless you. But the blessing has a prerequisite. If you listen to the voice of the Lord your God, if you listen, then you can take possession of the promise over the provision. Here it is, the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt. They have God taking care of them. They left with the Egyptian wealth. They left and their sandals didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell up. The sun did not scorch them because they had a cloud. They did not freeze in the night because they had the pillar of fire at night. And when they needed something to eat, God say, there's some manna. And if you say, what is it? That's what the definition is. What is it? Manna, that's what it means. So he fed them with the bread that comes from heaven. He gave them some quail. He defeated their enemies. He opened up the Red Sea so they can cross on dry ground. He closed up the Red Sea behind the enemies that were pursuing him. God is showing this people that he is able to deliver them and do great and mighty things for them. And now he has them in Deuteronomy chapter 30 talking about how they're going to get a second chance to do the right thing. See, the generation had all of that good stuff happen to them when God took them from the place of protection and provision and got them to the point where they needed to go over and cross over and take the promised land. Instead of taking that as a blessing from the Lord, they thought about why they should stay back. They looked at themselves and said, we are grasshoppers in our own eyes. We cannot defeat the giants in the land. Though we see the promise over there, we can't get it. This was an offense to God, and God actually said, fine. Then I'm going to take care of you in the wilderness. I'm going to let you wander in the wilderness. I'm going to still provide for you. I'm going to still protect you. And you're going to probably forget all about the promise. But I'm not going to forget my promise. I'm just going to wait on you to die out so that the next generation can pick up the promise and go ahead and move with it. I'm going to let you know something. When God's word goes out, it does not return void, but it accomplishes that whereto he sends it, and it prospers wheresoever it goes. Wherever God makes a decree or he makes a statement that something is blessed, it's blessed. If he makes a statement that this is yours, then it is yours. Now, it is up to you and I whether we will choose life or choose death or choose the blessing or choose the curse. God has already spoken it. Will you stay in a place of only provision or will you go over to the promise? This is the question that is coming to Bethel now. This is the question that is to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30 who didn't cross over, and now God has waited to the appointed time, and now all of those older saints that only wanted his protection and provision have died out. You got Joshua, Caleb, Moses, and maybe some others left, I don't know. But you got a whole new generation. And they're being posed the same questions by God in the chapter we're going to go through. Moses in Deuteronomy 1, he's reviewing He gives them a preamble and a review of all the things that God's done. Then he gives them all the commandments God has asked them to keep. Then he gives them an opportunity to hear the covenant and accept the covenant all over again. I'm telling you today, Bethel, God is extending to us an invitation to accept. And he's putting before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he's saying choose life. But when you choose life, you actually choose restrictions. See, there ain't a lot of amens on that because we don't like to be restricted. And it's true. And I talk about food all the time, but I don't like to be restricted in my eating. I don't. And by the way, for the doctors that's in the room who, after I say stuff like that, who want to come up to me after service and give me health tips, I know. You don't have to do it today. Wait till after a month after the fast, because you know we're going to fast and then we're going to go without. We're going to temporarily lose weight, feel good about ourselves, then we're going to eat what we want, and then we're going to start getting right again. So that's the pattern. See, y'all laughing because you know it's true, but we can try to break that cycle. The children have settled on the provision, and they left the promise up in the air. Bethel, are we only satisfied with the provisions of God? And we don't want the promises. See, when God says something, it doesn't change. He's not going to change. You know, me, Joyce Meyer and I, when I first moved here, July 1997, for the next 7 years, God would speak the same word to me. Joyce Meyer and I got the same word. And I hated this word. She hated it. And the scripture said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I didn't. Who wants? Anybody want some affliction? Just raise your hand. Many are the afflictions, and I felt afflicted all the time. But I always used to change that word afflicted. And whenever I came in encounter with affliction, instead of embracing that the Lord delivers from us all, I delivered myself from the affliction that he allowed to come into my life. You see, somehow we don't believe that blessing and affliction go together. But the Bible said, no man having left father, mother, sister, brother, land, cattle, for my sake and the gospel shall receive in this life 100-fold land, cattle, sister, brother, mother, sister, and eternal life with persecution. That's the part. I know everybody wants me to get up here and pronounce the blessing of your new house, your new car, your new job, your new business, and all your debts. That's paid off, but we don't want me to get up here and say more persecution in the name of Jesus. Affliction, come forth right now. Oh, affliction, we receive you. But it's funny that the affliction, the persecution, it all works together for my good. It all works together for what God wants. But somehow when we see that pursuing the promises of God is the very thing that brings the pressure, that brings the affliction, that brings the challenge, it's that righteous activity that allows the pressure to come, we begin to reject it mentally, reject it physically, and we begin to back up or moonwalk away from the promises of God. I'm begging you not to do it, but I'm begging you to choose life. But in choosing life, I'm not telling you that there won't be some painful moments. But in the midst of the pain, in the midst of hearing God's voice, you get God himself. The highest privilege of being blessed, out of all the definitions I can give you, the highest privilege of being blessed is getting his presence. Getting him intimately involved in your life. If your inheritance, if you're an heir to the presence of God, if God is saying, Bethel, I want to fill this house. Bethel, I want to come and have a greater intimate relationship with you. But in having this greater intimate relationship with you, you die, he lives, and you begin to pursue his promises, but persecution comes. You still have to fight a giant. Now, in fighting the giant, you win. But it still takes strength. It still takes energy. It still takes you doing something. Go. What's the scripture in Luke that I'm looking for, Pastor Bruce? Go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Let me read this. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So how many people want to be poor? Because you see, I love you. Because see, he got it real quick. So he's gonna be blessed. See, he gives you bread to eat. He gives you seed to sow and bread to eat. Poor is this temporary state. It's a temporary condition. You are blessed when you're poor because God said, I take interest in you. Okay, I'm gonna help y'all get this lesson today. Here we go. And he says, blessed are you when you weep, so you shall laugh. Who won't be sad? Okay? Nobody. Okay, sorry. Blessed are you when people hate you. I'm blessed when somebody hate me. And I know that sometimes when we see scriptures like this, we're thinking nobody hates us. Well, let me help you understand that you're hated. Because now you don't understand. Let me help you understand. You are hated and you're persecuted. You know, I have some neighbors, even as early as today, they kind of show up and if you're here from the neighborhood, God bless you. We love you. And we just want you to know that we are not offended at your letters or your statements, how much you hate our building and our progress. We're not. We just want to say we love you, we bless you, and we understand that you might feel inconvenienced. But when God finishes the work, it's going to be a blessing to the community and a blessing to you. But I want you to know that there are community people, and we have people in this church that can testify that they even think we're a cult. Have you ever heard somebody think that Bethel's a cult? Raise your hand so they can know that. See, that's true. Okay, so them too. Okay, we're not a cult, but you. And I know some of y'all shout, we're a cult? Oh, my God. I've got, but I'm just saying, when you advance the kingdom of God, this is some of the things that can happen. As you go on and you read these Beatitudes, I'm just trying to tell you that they give the connotation that when you're down, you're not out, because God's blessing is over you, and choosing life or choosing him to obey his voice always is a pathway into the blessing. God has said to me more in 2015 that I was blessed than the other time. And he told me to carry this message into 2016. Twice in 2015, God had me come before the congregation and declare that we were blessed and declare that we were to sow. And then he did that again. He said for the next 6 months. And some people have come out of that being multimillionaires because they have honored God and they have listened to what he's saying and they've chosen life. And I want you to know that when I was down in 2015 and I was down, when I was troubled by my own life and my own behavior, my own reaction to things, that even as senior pastor of a church, you can let unforgiveness get in. You can let some bitterness get in. You can let confusion get in. You can let darkness get in. And you have to face that about yourself. You have to turn from it just like everybody else. And you have to turn to the promises of God and the provision of God and the ways of God. And you have to listen to God's voice. And I'm going to tell you, when you're down and you're out, even sometimes the blessings that God speaks to you, they don't sound like blessings when you come. And you got sarcasm back. I'm going through a dark time and God tells me I'm blessed. Don't look like a blessing to me, God. Well, this is the kind of blessings you have. I don't want them. No, you're going through a persecution. You're going through where time should be up, but they're actually down. You're going through when you did good to people and all you got back was bad. And instead of having no reaction like him who was reviled against but did not revile, who was cursed but he blessed instead, we begin to do things more consistent with worldly people than godly people. You know, why did people, remember that book Pastor Rice taught us about, the 100? And the 100 greatest people of all times, and Jesus ranked number 3. And remember why they said Jesus ranked number 3? It's because his followers did not do what he said in loving their enemies, in blessing them that cursed them. Bless all the neighbors. Bless your boss who did not give you a raise this year and has no intention of giving you one in 2016 at all. Pastor Corey in the last service said that there was a company that blessed all their employees with a bonus of $100,000. And I yell from the back, that's not happening for you here. Just wanted to let him know that publicly in case he was sending me a signal. I sent one back. Okay. Hey, you got to know using the pulpit to get him a bonus. The first thing that God ever did for man, according to Genesis 1, 27, 28, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. The first thing that God did after he created man was bless him. He blessed him. You are blessed. You are blessed. This is immutable. You are blessed. The greatest blessing that Adam and Eve had was his presence, was his provision, was his promise. It was all there. You are blessed. Pastor Harry Gomes came to our church a few years back, and he proclaimed that we were blessed. And he began to say, you need to say back to God what you need, what you want. He's going to meet that need. Then he said, he called us friends of God. And he said, we were blessed. Are you taking advantage of that? Then you have people. One of the people from the American Humanist Association wrote in a blog that I am tired of people giving God credit for their blessings. It is irresponsible to do that, to bless God for the birth of your child, or that you can fit into your skinny jeans. This is a real thing, by the way. It minimizes the accomplishments you made. If you earn something, take the credit for it. he said, it becomes rude and insensitive and boastful for you to give God credit for something that you have the ability to do. Now, that was, and I read all the blogs and all the people saying, yes, amen, it's all in me. The only reason that you are blessed is because he has blessed you. That's it. That's it. Deuteronomy 30, in the first verse, as we look at this, the children of Israel are getting an opportunity to renew the covenant with God, that they understand that there's a blessing ahead of them or a curse, and that they are going to say yes to crossing over when the previous generation would not. Bethel, God is asking us, are we going to come to the finish line? Are we going to come and cross it? Or are we going to look at it and not cross? Are we going to look at it and say, let other people cross? Are you going to look at it and say, we're able to finish? Or are you going to look at it and give up, cave in, and quit? Verse 1 says, and when all of these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, this, when he's saying this, he's saying this is unconditional. This is called an unconditional covenant. That what God was saying is, you only have two choices and you don't get to opt out on a third. You are only going to be cursed or blessed. And you're going to choose. If you hearken diligently to two chapters before, to the voice of the Lord your God, to obey and observe all that is written, then these blessings come. If you do not hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that is written, then these curses will come. If you do not take advantage of the blessing, the only thing you have left is a curse. And there are more curses in chapter 28 than there are blessings. There are three times more curses than blessings. And they get progressively worse. The more you deny God his rights to your life and my life to be blessed for his purposes, you begin to lose. Do you understand that I'm not against a house or a car or provision or nice things? I like them and God wants us to have nice things. But that is not the primary purpose of resources. Resources are first given for God to have an opportunity to steward them through you. And the more you're faithful to allow him to steward the resources he entrusts to you, the more he entrusts to you. And the secondary benefit is he allows you to enjoy some of the blessings and the provision as well. God must be taken care of first, and then everything else lines up. We're either going to be blessed, cursed, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God. And you and your children obey his voice and all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, your parents didn't do right. Maybe you didn't have a good example of this. Maybe you fell short of understanding what the standard really is, but I'm renewing my covenant with you today. The same thing I told them, I'm telling you. He had given them in the chapters before the Ten Commandments and all of the rules and the standards he wanted them to keep. And he says, if you keep these things, the blessing is going to stay over your life. And if you, like your parents, ignore these things, you're going to be scattered and you're going to have hard times. But look, if you find that you're getting scattered, if you find that you have hard times and you return to listening to my voice, then the blessing will return to you. So what first thing I'm going to tell you is you've got to be honest with yourself in 2016. If you picked up some bad habits in 2015 and things that don't please God, but you don't find that you're dead and you find that you're alive, God is not excusing bad behavior. He wants you to return and listen to his voice. And when you return and listen to his voice, the blessing stays over your life. But if you don't, the curses in your life, they begin to increase because a causeless curse does not come. The curse has a cause. You should be blessed. Now, if it feels like I'm getting on you real hard, I'm not. I'm really trying to not make you feel like God wants to beat you down. God is trying to build you up and get us to return from this place of almost enough, barely enough, hoping there's enough, to super abundantly supplied, because we're on mission and we're on task. It's amazing if you talk to missionaries like Pastor Kevin and Lynette, because they live, they're missionaries in India. They live trusting God. I mean, there's a lot of Christians to help you here. It ain't a lot of Christians in your community that can show up and help you, right? You got to fly to America mostly to get some help. That's tough. But the provision of God is there. Sometimes in America, because we have some stuff, we don't listen to the voice of God. And that's what's got to change. He puts before us the choice, church. I'm asking you to return. God is asking you to return. He's asking us to repent. Don't put your trust in chariots. Don't put your trust in the horses. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in your money, your 401k, your 403b, your stocks, your bonds, your investments, your brain, your high commitment, your IQ, your wife, your husband, your kids making it to the big time. Stop putting your trust in all of these things that will leave you wanting and lacking. Start putting your trust in God, who puts before you a blessing, and go forward in the mission, and the blessing will be abundantly supplied. Applied to you. But there's no way that you can stay. Look, God is moving you forward. And you're going to have to get unstuck. Stop saying you're not smart enough. He'll give you the provision you need. Stop saying you're not strong enough. He'll give you the strength you need. Stop saying I'm not able. You're right. You're right. You're not able, but he is able. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Stop thinking it's about you. Stop being overwhelmed by your conditions that you can see and look toward the unseen God who will give you miracle after miracle after miracle. Your business is supposed to multiply, especially if it's advancing the kingdom. Don't be ashamed. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you. Stop making people got you taking your scriptures down, taking everything down. Well, I could get sued. Look. Being a Christian is a risky business. When you name Christ, however they treated him, they're going to treat you. So if you try to play the halfway in, halfway out game, you're really going to lose. If you play choosing the death game, you're going to lose. Halfway in, halfway out, you're going to lose. But the only way to win is stay under the blessing. Quote for me Psalm 1. Y'all saints, come here. Don't get together. 1, 2, 3, go. It's okay. That's why you're going to fast. That's why you fasted. Because you got to get the word deeper in you. That's okay. It's okay. We got purple books in the lobby. We got all kinds of things you might need to help you. Blessed is a man who who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate or mutter or constantly speak night and day. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper, because you stay meditating on the word. You stay thinking about the promises. You stay thinking about God. You don't think about your situation and say, I'm sick, I'm sad, I got a headache, I'm... No, no, you start saying, I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the arm of the Lord. I'm the hand of the Lord. I'm the provision of the Lord. And I'm the love of God to somebody that doesn't know the love of God. I'm telling you that you're blessed, but your blessing and your provision comes by announcing it to others, announcing it to yourself, not as some type of a recipe or hocus pocus or that you speak over your life like it's the words. It is you building up faith in what you're saying. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You got to take the words that God has said to you and say them back to God over and over again, which is prayer, communicating back to God what he's communicating to you until you have the faith to act on it, the faith to walk on it. You've got to change your speech. Return to him. And when you return to God, he'll begin to restore you. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Whatever you think you lost in 2015 and before, in 2016, he is going to restore your fortunes. They lost the promise, but he's restoring it. He's restoring what he spoke over you as a child. He's restoring what he spoke over us as a church. He's restoring what he spoke over your marriage when you first got married, and they said that prayer over your life, and it was a prophetic prayer that maybe it's not. The why it's not coming to pass is you're not choosing the conditions that went along with it of faithfulness and the pursuit of God. And you that's all you've got to do is turn back. And see, the quietness is, it's tough when you really get that list going. Because it's not a game. It's a list we all have of stuff that we need to give up. I say that, Lord. Some of us need to get a black garbage bag and go home and I'm going to say that, Lord, get rid of the old pictures of old loves, love letters, movies, cigarettes, e-cigarettes. People from Seattle can get rid of the marijuana. It's always a joke. It's medicinal when it's from Seattle, I know. Get all of that stuff out because it's holding you back. Their thoughts of Egypt held them back, but it was bondage. Do you know there's things that are holding you or that have been holding you and they've got a grip on you? You got to let them go. You can't be satisfied with three hots in a cot. You got to get out of prison. You got to get out of the can't help it. You got to get out of it's not possible to live holy. It is possible to live a holy life and a holy lifestyle without being a legalistic person. And somebody that nobody wants to imitate or emulate. You actually can live this way. And I'm not telling you that it won't cost you something. It's going to cost you everything. You, your way of thinking, your way of doing things, my way of being right and righteous. You've got to give it all up. A lot of you have got to accept your calling. I love how Pastor Rice said it when we were with them at his house celebrating what work is going on in India. He said, you know, most people, they can hear anything except, God, don't send me to India. Why not? There's great people there. There's people open to the gospel there. Why aren't we saying, God, I'm open to anything. Send me. We had a GO conference a few years ago, and it was all about going to the nations. This is not the mandate for somebody else in our movement. This is the mandate for us. They didn't want to go over. They don't want to build the building. They don't want to go to ENLI.
You don't want to go to a life group. Change that. You living alone in isolation will produce sin, period. When I'm alone, well, praise God. When I'm alone, my mind's going to go off until I've got somebody in my life to say, man, you ain't thinking straight. You thinking of the things of the world and not the things of God. Return and be restored and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Verse 4. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of the heavens, for there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land of your fathers to possess it, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and that you may live. In other words, one of the provisions once you return to God is he restores right thinking. He restores right thinking, and he gets you to start thinking godly, and he cuts away the things in your heart that have developed a taste for the world or devilish things or fleshly things or things that pull you down, and he starts giving you a heart toward him where it's easy to surrender your will. It's easy to just give up. It's easy to just give in. It's easy to recognize you are called. It's easy to recognize that maybe you're going to go meet Pastor Kevin Menezes, and you're going to end up on the mission trip and end up moving there like Barry and Jess, because there's a nation in the world that's waiting on you. Whatever it is that's causing you to hold on to you is preventing the blessing from being in your life. And the blessing is not staying in the wilderness with your sandals not wearing out, your feet not swelling up, and the sun not burning you. The blessing is crossing over the Jordan and getting the promise and taking the land and occupying this earth until he comes, prospering, subduing it, and preaching the gospel to every creature. Taking authority in your government. Taking authority in your school. Taking authority in your home. Just walk in your kids' room. First of all, if your kids got a lock on the door, I want you to go home and cut that off. If you have given your kids a phone, and you do not have a block on all the stuff, you're going to get their phone when you go home and block everything and stop thinking that little Johnny is not going to go to the wrong places without your help. Sorry. And if you're confused, I'll say it again. We have a parenting book that was written by Pastor Steve and Deborah Moore that can help you. But this is to get it right. Man, we're getting a lot of homework, aren't we? Go, if you have an Xbox or a PlayStation and your kids play online and you don't ever monitor what they're doing, that's over today, because that's bad stewardship of their life. And when they buck and they cry or whatever, tell them you will throw it away if they don't like it. Or no, sell it, because you can get some money. Yeah, sell that. Sell that. If your child get an attitude with you, after you paying for stuff, every time they get an attitude, say, I'm not paying for your shoes next time. I'm not buying you clothes the whole year. You're never eating out. You're going to eat the fruit and vegetables I put in the refrigerator. Now, that's going to change all their life. Yes, mama. What do you want me to do? Clean up? I'm going now. Hunger will do that for you. Y'all kidding me off. And you shall, again, obey the voice. Obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments. Obey the voice. Keep all his commandments. This is not some of them, the ones you like. You know, because I didn't grow up fornicating, so I don't. Typically, I got other stuff. Some people don't think a little white lie is a lie. A little white lie is a lie like a big black lie. This is a lie. God's not excusing your cussing. Bitter and sweet shouldn't come out the same mouth.
That's why your kids cuss. They heard you cussing on the phone. Oh, Lord, did I say that in church? Stop cussing. If you wouldn't say it to Jesus, don't say it. Boy, we starting the year right, ain't we? Just get down in Jesus. Hallelujah. And obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book. And they were numerous. When you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, he's trying to restore something, your ability to hear him. No, your ability to hear and hearken. Hearken, when you hearken to something, that's the ability to hear with the intent to obey. I not only heard it, but I'm going to do what I heard. This is what God is trying to say. And finally, I won't read the script. You can read it along. You need to retrieve the promise. So if you're going to be blessed, you're going to have to return to God from wherever you missed him. Then he's going to restore to you every promise that he ever made. But a restored promise is not enough. You've got to retrieve it through use. So the best example I can give you to close, you stand to your feet while I say this last one, would be Elisha was promised that if he saw Elijah taken, that he could have a double portion of his anointing. So the promise was he could get a double portion if he saw Elijah taken. He saw Elijah taken and his mantle fell. So it wasn't enough that he saw it. It wasn't enough that he saw the mantle. He had to pick it up. He picked it up. But picking the mantle up is still not enough. He walked over to the Jordan and he said, God of Elijah that parted the Jordan for us to walk over, parted for me, Elijah, now. And then dry ground happened and he walked over. What am I trying to say? It's not enough for you to turn from bad behavior and get the blessing back over your life, get it restored of your life. You actually have to pick it up and do something with it. And I'm telling you that God called you to be at a church that reminds you with the flags, that reminds you with the scripture to pray for all nations, that reminds you with our slogan, that reminds you with our movement name, Every Nation, that you are called to not just pray for every nation, give to reach the nations, but to go to the nations. And it starts by reaching your neighbor who is from another place. If we get up every Sunday and drive past the people in our neighborhood who don't know Jesus, it's wrong. That's the giant you have to go conquer to get your promise. Oh, I'm just believing God. I'm too stressed out to do it. But you know what? If you get that person saved, they're going to help your business. Not that you do it for that, but sometimes the very provision you need is in doing the work God gave you. Ministry team, you can come down. Bow your head. Lord, we heard a lot today. But the main word you want to give Bethel is that we're blessed. And if we don't feel the blessing in our life, we just need to return. We need to repent. We need to change so that the blessing can come and be restored. And God, we pray that we would have the strength to retrieve it and use it. I'm asking now, God, that this wouldn't be a people who choose cursing over blessing. It's unconditional promise. We get either or. Give us the strength to choose blessing. Give us the reign under the blessing. That we would have the resources and provisions to fulfill your will. God, I pray that more nations will be reached by this church this year than previous. God, that we will raise up more church planters. That every head of house will determine that they're going to be a small group leader. God, I pray that you would bless us to stand under your blessing and not move. God, if somebody here that does not know you, I pray at the conclusion of the service that they will come down and give their life to you. If somebody is not involved in discipleship, that they will fill out a card or make somebody know so we can connect them. If somebody needs healing in their body, they will come. Bless us as we leave this place without your presence.
Keep us in the center of your will. Jehovah Yah, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. You are dismissed. We love you. Go because you are blessed. Bless, 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 bless. Bless.